Need America to come home, don't we? Appreciate that good special. Once you go to the Old Testament, we're going to take a little story, tell you mostly about it, save time. And yes, it's still the 4th of July, and yes, I'm probably pretty much on the same subject I was this morning. And let me preface this. I think sometime as parents, we criticized our kids with the motive in mind of it being constructive criticism. We wanted to help them. Sometime we might have got a little overboard on it. When I reveal and speak against the wrong that's going on in America, it's not because I don't love America, it's because I want to bring them back, as she was singing, to come back home, amen? And on the positive side, I still believe that there's a tremendous number of genuine people in America that know what's right, want to do what's right. And the biggest encouragement I have outside the Lord being in charge is that the enemy still is underestimating the fact that we have still got a lot of people that love God and love this country. Amen. And are still going to be pretty hard for them just to push us over. Amen. Amen. Now, they're pushing pretty hard, I'll admit that. But I still have that confidence that, you know, Elijah sat under the juniper tree, didn't he, and had a pity party. Remember the story? But you remember what God said, told him to get on back on the job, basically. He said, I've got 7,000 men that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And I want to say that because I'm going to sound a little more negative tonight. Go to 1 Kings with me, 1 Kings, and we're going to look at chapter 14. Read a few verses and show you a little principle here, perhaps, and remind you of a story I hope you know if you read your Bible. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on subverting a nation. And that'll go along still with the fact I love America and it's the 4th and we're talking about these things. Picking it up with me now in chapter 14 of 1 Kings. Let's go from verse 25 just down through verse 28, about three or four verses here. Verse 25, and it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them into the hands of the chief of the guard which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them, those shields, those brazen shields, those substitute shields, brazen shields, which was once gold. But now the gold's been stolen and fakes have been made. Brass is a lot cheaper than gold, but it looks much the same. So the guard would go with the shields and brought them back into the guard chamber. In other words, it was a showcase. When the king went in and out of the house of God, he was there with the shields like it used to be. And perhaps the crowd watching didn't know the difference between the gold shields and the brazen shields. You see, what's going on right here, if you go back to the story, Rehoboam is the son of Solomon. Remember the story? Remember how when Solomon died and Rehoboam came up before the crowd and the crowd said to him, your father's been hard on us. You know, he built the temple, he raised the taxes, he raised the money. We'd like for you to cut back and be easy on us. Remember the story? You know what Rehoboam said? He said, give me 3 days. And he went and talked with the older men. And they said, look, if you'll cut back a little bit, these people will love you, they'll serve you, they'll be your servants forever. But then he also went and talked, the Bible says, with the young men that he grew up with. Right. And the young men said, oh no, I'm paraphrasing, but don't give them an inch. Go back and tell them that your little finger will be harder on them than the loins of your father. You're fixing to really put some pressure on them. And Rehoboam listened to the younger men and not the older man, and he went back and told the crowd that. And you remember the story. There was a split then, and a fellow by the name of Jeroboam, which had pretty much been raised under Solomon also. And so you have a split then between Judah and Israel, and you have Jeroboam taking part of them away. It's a bad time in Israel as a whole. A split between Judah and Israel. And then Jeroboam says, well, you know what? When it comes worship time and feast time, my crowd's going to want to go back down to Jerusalem. You know, homecoming down there. Right? So he said, I better do something. So what did he do? He made some false gods. A couple of calves, remember? And he said, these be your gods. And so there was a split there. Now we find here, as we read in our text, Rehoboam's kingdom is in poor shape. Shishak, the king of Egypt, has come in. He's raided the treasures. The stock market has fallen, brother. They are in dire straits. And yet, Rehoboam don't want the people to know that, to know what real bad shape they're in. So he builds some fake shields. He still puts on a show. He still wants to show them everything's okay when it wasn't. Brass instead of gold. We've all seen something sometime that was fooled us. How many of you? I want to ask you to raise your hand. If you ever lived in an old wooden house, you may have had this experience. You may have went to hang a picture on the wall, and the wall looked all right, and then you found out it was just an outer shell. The termites had been eating the heart out of the wood. Ever had such an experience? Sometime you might find something you thought was solid, and it turns only to be a shell. Later on in the scripture, more in one place, you'll read where God says that Israel tried to lean on Egypt, and Egypt was a broken reed. It wouldn't hold them up. It didn't have any strength, didn't have any value there. And so what we are looking at here is a good parallel for what we're fighting and fussing about and hoping to turn around in our nation, even as we celebrate this 4th. Think about it a little bit. If you want to replace a nation, if you want to subvert a nation, how are you going to do it? We look around today and we see how it's being done. First, it's being done by changing its truths. Now, you and I know truth of God can't be changed, but what man perceives as truth, all truth is from God. We need to understand that. But a man perverts it. He's good at doing that. And what we're looking at today, as we look around and see, we see the older people being moved out of power. For instance, in our military, our leaders, our generals. Do you know we've had 3 secretaries of defense in just a little while? Because they did not agree with the so-called commander-in-chief. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the older heads. I'm talking about the ones that know our values. I'm talking about those being replaced everywhere you look. They're the people that knew the truth of God, the truth of Jehovah. And the military folks tell you that what is happening in the military is a lot of the leadership is being moved that stood for something in the old days. That's too bad, folks. Thus in America, while we love God and we are freedom lovers, we look around and see that freedom being used up, wasted, becoming a shell, if you please. Today, speech now is got to be politically correct. The thought police are watching. Just slip up. I mean, isn't it amazing how you see in the news with the politicians? Boy, they're just walking on eggshells. I mean, they're so afraid they're going to say a little something. If one of them does get a little bit plain, here comes the media who is running the country and setting what is guidelines, and they think they're setting truth, but what they're doing is perverting truth. Really what they're doing. America's freedoms. A lot of folks think they own a piece of property. You just wait till a blue jay decides to build a nest on it. And you'll find out you didn't own it at all. I'm not joking. I can give you cases of that. A property being taken and you can't do this and you can't do that. It's nothing like old America used to be. No way. But we look around here and see this stuff. And let me say this. America has changed its gods in this sense. Materialism has become our gods, our idols. You say, America don't worship idols. Well, I kind of beg to differ with you. We don't have graven images unless you count those electric gadgets you hold in your hand. You know what I have trouble with as a pastor? I have trouble with younger people especially, and I hope not any of you old ones, texting in church. They can't break away from that thing. Their life is lived by it. I actually saw a commercial where this guy's walking down the street, and two or three of them are walking down the street, and he's guiding them by his GPS on his little gadget, and all of a sudden it don't work, and he's lost. Did you see that commercial? Anybody see that? That's been quite a while. But hey, that's truth. We've suddenly got an electronic God that is running our lives, and people are addicted to it like you would not believe. And kids that come and sit in church for an hour can hardly stand it. They're disconnected. Nobody is telling them what to do. They don't know what to do. And that's awful, folks, but that's replaced a lot of clear thinking in America. Materialism has become the new God, so to speak, and it's preparing us for the time when you will, I say you, some people are going to be here that's going to receive a mark, electronic thing that's going to be guiding their lives all the time. You've heard me mention it a lot of times, but Orwell's 1984, he foresaw the time that everybody was on camera. He foresaw the time that nobody had any freedom, and they were even afraid to think free thoughts, and he predicted that, and we're so close to that prediction till it is amazing. And we got a generation now prepared for a microchip, if you please. You say, oh, that'll never happen. Well, right here in Florida, we have the company that produces the Vera chip, the ERA chip, FDA approved, F for federal, by the way. It's now they've now renamed it a little bit, and they've got the word green in it. See, if it's green, it must be all right. That's become a religion, green religion, in our country. And Obama has given billions to it already of our tax money. Government health care bill, C-11, section 2521, allows authority for an implantable device, radio frequency number on it, and it's used to give all your data, contains all your information about you. Hey, that's already in the works. Isn't it interesting how the Bible jumped way ahead of it in Revelation 13 and said the beast would give a mark and a number, and that's where we're at, folks. That thing is moving really, really, really fast. I said a while ago, addicted to this stuff. Recently in the news, it didn't bother anybody, but just a couple of days when the news broke that all your phone calls are saved, all the information they're eavesdropping on you, spying on you. And when they first come out with that, I thought, boy, folks are really getting careful about their... It didn't hurt anybody. Well, I hadn't done nothing. I don't care what they know. Oh, they do know. They have really got it now at their fingertips. The sheriff told me, Sheriff Judd told me. He said, we're catching perverts faster over the internet, online, than we could ever do any other way. He said, I've had to hire extra help. And I said something like this in our conversation. I said, it's in the papers. You're catching them all the time. It's in the news. How come they're so dumb they keep coming and doing it? He said, they're addicted. He said, they don't even think that far ahead. You see, that's where we moved into. I thank God he's catching the bunch of perverts out there and dealing with them. Thank God for him doing that. But they got the can't help it. Anybody ever remember that statement? Oh, yeah. Trying to teach you science now, but anyway. Let me say this. If you want to pervert or subvert a nation, you do it by changing its truths. Then you do it by changing its treasures. What's valuable to them? You saw something in the paper today. I think Texas is about to cause a fuss because they're saying we want to keep our gold in Texas. Did anybody see that in the paper today? Dr. Lee, thank God somebody else read the paper. That sort of fits the text, don't it? You see, there's a lot of folks believe that Fort Knox really don't have any gold left in it. And that might just be true. It just might be brass. It just might be a fake shield. It just might be a show to make folks think we're better off than we are. There's a lot of folks believe that. I don't know. Maybe somebody in Texas believes that, so they said, we're not going to send them our gold anymore. We're going to keep it. And that's going to be trouble if they do. I hope they can. But amazing, changing its treasures. If you saw the paper again today also, and this is an old truth, but Pat Buchanan wrote in the paper today, and he said he was quoting an Italian Marxist communist. You see, you got a lot of books written by Karl Marx and all the others that followed, and all the communist manifestos and all that business. And it is an interesting thing if you look to see how well that plan has worked on America. And Pat Buchanan, the conservative writer, said in the paper today, he was quoting this Marxist, and the Marxist said, if you want to conquer the West, you first got to take over their culture. Boy, don't that ring home. Has our culture ever been taken over? Has it ever been changed from what it used to be? It certainly has. And that's destroyed our old values. The work ethic in America, is that what it used to be? No, sir. Everybody thinks a living is owed to them now. Biggest work they do is get up in the morning about 11 o'clock or 1 or 2 o'clock and get to the welfare office before it closes. Just about it. People used to want to earn their way. Now they don't mind stealing their way. That's why we got the identity theft thing big in the news today. That's part of the foundation that's being destroyed in America, being replaced, just like these shields was replaced with fakes. Less valuable, but they might kind of look the same and fool some folks. And we're looking around today and we're seeing this philosophy of we got to spread the wealth around. Well, just remember, where in the world does the government get the wealth from? They don't produce it themselves. They have to steal it from the people. And then they use it and give it away and buy votes with it and all the rest of it. Spread the wealth around. Any old excuse will do. Amen? What you have in subverting the country, you change its treasures. You steal its wealth. You destroy its morals. Boy, oh boy. How about the school thing? When I'm talking about destroying morals, is it morally right to let a little boy decide I'm a girl today, so I want to use the girls' restroom? That's what they're doing. And under the guise, well, I read where one principal said, he said, well, we can't discriminate. If he thinks he's a boy today, he goes in the boys' room. If he thinks he's a girl tomorrow, he goes in the girls' room. Now, there's a thing called a paddle that would have took care of his thinking in my day and time. He'd have known from their own what he was, amen? And by the way, they know anyhow, it's just a con. Just a trick, just a lie. That's all it is. But in school today, I was reading one questionnaire in grammar school where it was presented by the curriculum to ask the kids, who do you think you are? Are you gay or are you straight? And then it was saying, how do you know that you're straight unless you study and try the other side? A questionnaire. There's a fellow by the name of Kevin Jennings. He's been placed by Washington over the school, public school curriculum system on the big level. And he has a curriculum group named GLSEN. It's GLSEN, and G stands for gay, L stands for lesbian, S stands for straight, E for education, and N for network, GLSEN, and it's in charge of the school curriculum. And part of that questionnaire is, decide who you are. Maybe you want to look on the other side. You might not be a boy, you might be a girl, and then you got the Bruce Jenner thing and all that all of that kind of business. But that's something that's pretty old now. It's been going on now for a year or two or more. And it's amazing to me that we're tolerating this kind of stuff and seeing our nation subverted. If you want to subvert a nation, you change its treasures. You kill its patriotism. Boy, we had a lot of patriotic music today, and we pledge allegiance to the flag, and we love America, but you know, that's not as popular as it used to be. In fact, it's getting less popular all the time. It once was treasured, and we had our heroes, and our forefathers were heroes, and now all of a sudden they're getting blamed for the world's condition. I saw a little flash on TV the other night where they were trying to blame Benjamin Franklin. He done a lot of good for our country. They try to blame George Washington and some of our forefathers that this nation was built on. They're trying to pull them down and not let them be heroes anymore. Columbus, for instance, has been made a real villain by so-called discovering America and the awful things he did to the Indians, none of which was so. But a lot of them don't know, but Columbus actually had a motive to take the gospel, because he believed people were on the new continent, and he wanted to take the gospel to them. And you don't read that in the textbooks, but it's a truth that you can dig out and find out. So our heroes are being blamed and pulled down. So if you want to subvert a nation, you change its truths, you change its treasures, and finally you do all that by changing what they trust. Now, what do we say when we pledge the flag? One nation under God. We were raised to trust God, ask his blessing on our nation. You heard the choir sing 2 Corinthians 7:14 a while ago, asking God to heal our land. All of that's old-fashioned patriotism, old-fashioned Americanism. But oh boy, it's not so popular anymore. Changing our trust into other gods. America's in trouble right now, because we are being seen our young folks brainwashed that any God is as good as another. And that's not true. Amen. The Muslim Allah is not the Lord God Jehovah. Yet we're teaching our kids in the school that it's okay, it's all right, everything's the same, don't worry about it. It's a joke, my friends, how this nation is being subverted right in front of our eyes. You know, we have on our coins "In God We Trust," and we had no doubt who that God was. We knew who he was, no doubt about it. Now we see older folks dismayed when they look around and see the culture and wonder how this could happen. And we have to face it. In that culture is people we love. In that culture are our grandkids. In that culture, and so we older folks probably make a mistake of bending too much instead of speaking up against what we know is wrong. You know why most churches go liberal? Because the older folks just sit and don't say anything. It's not they agree with it, they just won't resist it. And they've been sold a bill of goods. You can't reach young folks unless you use what young folks lack, which often is the devil's music and the devil's lifestyle. And that's a big, big thing that is being used to convert churches today. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff. It comes in, listen, if they take your old Bible, they're pretty soon going to take your old songbook. Sooner or later, one or the other, it'll all tie together. Next thing you know, in a little while, it won't even resemble the church that Grandpa went to, or that you put your money in when you were younger to build. And that's really too bad. I mentioned the music thing. Brother Cruz, I was looking up a hymn. Well, I'll give you one you're certainly familiar with. "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." They can't sing that "wretch" no more. They're trying to change the word "wretch." So they're going to say that saves someone like me. See, you can't face the truth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, I'm a wretch, and the Lord Jesus Christ loved me while I was yet a sinner and died for me. That truth is too hard anymore. So we got to get rid of the word "wretch." There's another song in Christ Alone. One line goes something like this. It says, "Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied." Now, wait a minute. That's too hard a truth. You mean on the cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied? That's gospel. That's truth. His wrath, God's wrath that would have fallen on me, fell on his son on the cross of Calvary. That's Bible truth. But they can't sing that song. That's offensive. So they've asked to change it. And instead of saying on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, they're saying now on that cross we're going to change it to the love of God was magnified. Oh yeah, just put love in there and place a wrath. And everybody's happy. Folks, I'm talking about you and I seeing, somebody called it the death of a nation. And unless we stand up and speak up and see some changing in our country soon, it is going to be exactly that. And that's too bad. And I hate to say that, but it's so. And I said, prefacing this message tonight, I have some confidence that there's some Americans out there, but let me say this. We have had our hands tied so much until there's not a whole lot we can do. Yes, we can pray, but God, and by the way, you remember when Joshua was about to fight the battle? You remember he won over Jericho, and then the little city of Ai just defeated him, and Joshua fell on his face. Lord, you know, we had the big victory at Jericho, and now this little old city defeated us, and we've got about 30 men dead here. You know what God said to him while Joshua was on his face praying? He said, "Get up." Right. There's a time you pray, and there's a time you get up. Right. There's a time you face the fact, and Joshua needed to face the fact that sin was in the camp. And it had to be dealt with. I'll tell you the truth. We can pray, but sometimes we need to get up and do something. Just need to get up and do something. Do what we can, every way that we can. I see that everywhere I look today. Youth are told to hate America. Taught to hate America because here's what they're approached with. The older folks have got the money and they're too stingy to give it to us. That's the bottom line. That's take from the rich and give to the poor sounds so good. But you know what? I think it was Margaret Thatcher of England, Prime Minister, Lady of England. She said the trouble with socialism is you're giving away somebody else's money and sooner or later it runs out. Boy, she was ever right. Ever right. And that's what's going on too much today. But what's behind it all? We know the devil's behind it. It's Satan's end time agenda. He has a plan and he has a man. And if there's any one nation that stands in the devil's way through the years, it's been America. America that sends the missionaries and sends the gospel, and America that gives to feed the poor, America that rushes in every time there's a disaster anywhere in the world. I want to tell you something. Satan wants to bring down America, and he's doing it not from the enemy outside. Yes, that's bad, but it's the inside that is doing the damage. We can fake it. We can pretend the shields are gold, but they're not what they used to be. They've been changed. Been camouflaged. They're fake. Amen. And all today, how we need to get back to the real, genuine thing. I've told this before, and the men that help us clean up the camp every year, we've seen this. There's some trees out at our youth camp. Lord knows that when we started, we had hundreds of them we don't have now. Storms and everything. We still have a bunch of them out there. But there's one particular tree. I don't know if I know the name of it or not, but it grew pretty big and pretty. Pretty as any tree out there. But I learned in the early years of the camp that tree was deceptive. I've seen the time that we'd have everything cleaned up, ready to go, everything and ready to go, finished on Saturday, come have Sunday, camp gonna start on Monday. And for some reason on Sunday afternoon, the Lord just impressed me, drive out to camp. I drove out there, and right in the middle of the road was the biggest tree you ever seen that would have stopped them from coming in on Monday morning This is Sunday afternoon. I find this big tree laying across the road. No particular bad storm. It was just laying there. So naturally, we got out there on Monday morning super early and got it cut up and got out of the way. And in cutting it up, we made a discovery. That big, beautiful green tree had a decayed heart in it. It was a fake. It looked good on the outside, but the inside was rotten. And that's why it fell. And I don't care how good you look on the outside. You may look like gold on the outside, but you may be brass on the inside. And there's a lot of places we can apply that to. We can apply it to our nation tonight. We can apply it to a lot of churches tonight. Let's don't hopefully have to apply it to ourselves. Jesus accused the Pharisees of being whited sepulchers, remember? He said, on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. Oh, listen, let's be the real thing. Let's be the genuine gold that God wants us to be, amen, and not fake it up here like the king, like old Rehoboam did to fool the people. He didn't want them to know how bankrupt his government was, how bad it really was. And today, as I look at that Satan's agenda for the end time, he's got a lot of folks fooled. He's shining it up on the outside, but it's hollow on the inside. It's too bad, but it's true. But you know what? The disaster hit Israel anyway. And ultimately, you'll find out, you'll read over in 2 Kings 17, you'll read over there where it says they feared God, but served their own idols. They went through the pretense of claiming, we believe in the Lord God Jehovah, but they went their own way on their own idols. What was the end of it? Judgment came. 10 tribes were carried away. See, you might fool your neighbor. You might fool your preacher, but you don't fool God. Don't fool God. You look like gold to somebody on the outside, but on the inside you may be brass, and God knows about it. He knows what the inside is. You can give lip service. You can cry out, praise God, but is it real on the inside? You see, I make this application. The world today is trying to replace Jesus. They're trying to give America other gods. They're trying to fake it. But Jesus Christ is still the only way to heaven. He's the only way to victory. He's the only way you can get your sins forgiven. And no matter how they shine up a big building or how they shine up this nation, at the heart of it, what's our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the key. That's the key. Lip service won't do it. They're trying to replace Jesus every way they can. But he's the only one who can save us. He's the only one. He's the only one that you can get in heaven's gate with. His name above every name. Psalms 2 verse 12 says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. Listen, let's be careful we don't pull a Rehoboam here and just shine up the outside to fool some folks. Amen. Let's bow our heads and stand, please. Father, we commit an invitation to you. Lord, somebody might have looked in the mirror tonight and said, you know, I'm not real all the way through like I ought to be. Lord, I might have shined up the outside some, and I may have fooled some family or friends, but I'm not genuinely right with you on the inside. I've never truly trusted Christ as my Savior. I pray for there be one in this building like that or in Radio Land like that tonight. And then I pray, Father, that you'd help us as your people to not just care about what folks see on the outside, but may our insides be real and right with you. I pray you'd bless us, Father, in this trying time of our nation, to not only pray for it, but to speak up for it, to do everything we can to help turn it around. And Father, we believe you're coming soon for your church, but dear God, if not, we know we got grandkids and others to care about. And we want to preserve this nation if it can be your will. On this 4th of July down here in 2015, we pray for it tonight. We pray for it that it could once again have the values it once had, stand for what it stood for, that we could get men in office that put America first and had the right values and were not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'd bless the invitation tonight in a special way, and whatever the need.